Ivan Illich was a multilingual priest, activist, philosopher, and social critic, influential internationally in the second half of the last century, who wrote in his first published book, quote, "There is no greater distance than that between a man in prayer and God." Perhaps you felt like that at times. That God is somewhere inaccessibly far away across an infinite, unbridgeable distance. When I came across this quote recently, I was reminded of a song that was popular about 35 years ago. It was written by Julie Gold in 1985. It has been recorded by several artists. It's probably Bette Midler's recording, released in 1990, that was the most popular. The song is titled, "From a Distance." And it describes how, from a distance, everything looks so much better than it really is. From a distance, the planet is clean, the sky is clear, everyone has what they need, and we're all united singing songs of peace. And the hook line is, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. The song claims to for itself that it's a song of harmony, hope, and love. But to be honest, the notion that God is watching us but keeping his distance so he doesn't really know how bad things are is not a comforting thought to me. Far away is not where I want God to be. Do you? In my experience, even people who aren't quite sure God exists want to believe that if he's real, he's close, at least accessible. And so when, for whatever reason, they think or feel that he's not close, they want to know why. And as I understand it, this why question is not just a curious inquiry, but more like an irritated complaint. The kind of complaint that's even sometimes expressed in the Bible. For example, by the psalmist who, according to Psalm 10:1, grumbles, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" Now, you don't have to listen to me speak very many times from this space to know that I'm not only interested in questions, I'm frequently interested in what's behind the question, where the question comes from. In this case, why we're asking why. For you see, if we're asking why God is so far away, whether it's from curiosity or irritation, it means that we expect that God wouldn't be, or perhaps shouldn't be, far off. And so I'm curious about where that expectation about God comes from. Why would we want or expect that God would not be far off? Well, I'm convinced that part of the answer has little to do with who God actually is, and a whole lot to do with the fact that a distant God is not a God we would create. I don't know about you, but I find that many of my questions about God, my surprises about God, my complaints about God, come from ways that he doesn't conform to what I want from him. So I need to be careful to test my assumptions, my expectations about God. And to be as sure as possible that what I believe about God and who he is and what he's like conforms to what's true rather than what I want or what I prefer. And the only way I know to do that is to anchor my understanding about God as clearly and securely as possible in what he reveals about himself. And the most reliable revelation we have from God about who he is, what he's like, what he's doing, and what he expects of us is Scripture. So as we do when we gather like this each week, we're taking our question to Scripture for answers. What does the Spirit of God reveal to us through Scripture in response to the question, why is God so far away? In the next few minutes, I'm going to share with you two answers from Scripture to this question, and then talk with you a bit about what we need to do with what the Spirit reveals. First, the Spirit reveals to us in Scripture that God is not at all like us. Or better, we are not at all like God, nor can we be, by the way, regardless of the lies Satan told Eve in the garden. And the way Scripture describes how different God is from us is the declaration that God is holy. Scripture's description of God as holy can be summarized with the declaration recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you, neither any rock like our God. Of course, the word holy is an English word. And the Old Testament wasn't written originally in English. It was written in Hebrew. The Old Testament Hebrew words that we translate holy in English mean primarily separate, specially dedicated and set apart. The emphasis is on God being absolutely, completely different from us. What one writer described as God's, quote, awesome otherness. And a principal element of God's holiness in the Bible, his otherness, is morally perfect purity. God's moral perfection is infinitely beyond our moral condition or any moral excellence we could ever achieve. So we acknowledge with the psalmist that God is so infinitely different from us, we cannot approach him. We echo David's declaration recorded in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. And I admit to you that that leaves me out. I don't meet that standard. You can make your own confession. So like Isaiah, we are crushingly intimidated when confronted with the holiness of God. Here's how he described his experience recorded in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim were standing above it, each having six wings, with two each covered his face, with two each covered his feet, and with two each flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundation of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe to me, for I am in pieces, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies." It was the same reaction Apostle Peter had when he first realized who Lord Jesus was. It's recorded in Luke 5:8. "But when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord.'" I remember vividly one of my own personal experiences of being confronted with my impurity in contrast with the Holy God. It was the summer of 76. The entire experience lasted only a few moments, but it was as if time itself stood still, and I have yet to recover. I was walking across a church parking lot in Winters, Texas, when I noticed a half-eaten apple core on the asphalt. I could see it had been there a while because it was soft, brown, and rotting, teeming with maggots. And suddenly, the moment after I noticed it, I was struck, as if startled awake in the middle of the night, by the realization that my revulsion at this corruption pales in comparison to the difference between our sin-steeped world and God's pure heaven. We can praise Him in response to the psalmist's call recorded in Psalm 99:9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." We can lift up our hearts and voices in exultation with the seraphim, who according to Revelation 4:8, day and night never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." But we must praise him from afar, for we cannot approach him. That's what the Spirit reveals to us, right? God is so far away because he is holy, and therefore we can never draw near to him. That's what Scripture says? Well, partly. But that's not all Scripture reveals. As he is so shrewdly skilled in doing, the great deceiver takes a fragment of truth, joins it with a sliver of untruth, and forges a fallacy. It is true that the Holy God is infinitely different from us. So different, we can never approach him. He is holy. That's Scripture's first answer to our question, why is God so far away? But the second answer revealed in Scripture is, he is here. You see, the truth is that while we cannot approach a holy God, he can and does draw near to us. He has been drawing near to us from the beginning. The whole Bible is about the holy God drawing near to us. Genesis 2 records that the holy God got his hands dirty, literally got his hands dirty, creating us, made physical contact with us to create us. Exodus chapter 3 records that the holy God told Moses, "I have seen the misery of my people, I have heard their cries, and I know their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them." It's the message of the gospel. The holy God has come down to us in the person of Lord Jesus to draw us up to him. It's why we know Lord Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. It's what Lord Jesus did for us on the cross. He took on all the impure filth of our sin. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You cannot draw closer than that. It is the promise of God for our eternal hope revealed through Apostle John, recorded in Revelation chapter 21. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will be their God. God is holy, yes, infinitely set apart and different from us, but difference is not distance with God. With God, difference is not distance. Not because we're able to bridge the chasm that separates us from holy God, but because he draws near to us, for he is both holy and right here. As he reveals through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 57, verse 15, for this is what the high and exalted one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, says, I dwell in a high and holy place, and with the repentant and humble of spirit. Are you listening? I dwell in a high and holy place, and with the repentant and humble of spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the repentant. God is both holy and here. It's the truth he reveals through the psalmist. For example, in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. God is holy and here. It's the truth he declared through Apostle Paul when he spoke in Athens, recorded in Acts chapter 17. The God who made the world and everything that is in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one all peoples of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might feel around for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and are. God is both holy and here. That day so long ago, the instant after I was startled by the difference between our corrupt world and pristine heaven, I was thunderstruck a second time, overwhelmed by the awesome realization that our Savior God left the purity of heaven and came down to us into our sin sludge filth. God is both holy and here. God is not far away, not distant from us. Distance does not exist for God. For God, there is no distance. God is spirit and exists outside space and time, above space and time, beyond space and time, unrestricted by space and time. He is different than us, but not distant from us. You see, Scripture's answer to our question, why is God so far away, is He's not. For He has come down to us. He has entered into space and time with us. So then, if God is not far away, then that changes our question from why is God so far away to why do I feel God is so far away? And of course, we almost immediately then want to ask, and what can I do about my feeling that God is so far away? So I'm going to use the time that we have left to offer some suggestions about these two questions. One of the reasons we feel God is far away is pain. We're hurting. Pain and suffering can become overwhelmingly all-consuming, either because they're so intense or because they're so relentless, or both. When we're ill, when we're grieving, when we're anxious, when we're afraid, when we're upset, it can monopolize all our energy and attention to cope. And when our expectations that God should make us comfortable again aren't met, it's not unusual to feel distant from Him. Again, He hasn't moved. He is here, but we may not feel He's close. When pain causes us to feel God is far away, we could do what David did. Open our hearts to the Lord and honestly express what we're feeling. One example is Psalm chapter 6, which includes these words. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am frail. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are troubled and my soul is greatly troubled. But you, Lord, how long? Return, Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your mercy. I am weary with my groaning. Every night I make my bed swim. I flood my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has grown old because of all my enemies. Our Lord is not put off or pushed away by our honest vulnerability. He knows your pain. And transparency in expressing it to Him reminds us that He is right here. Another reason we may feel God is far away is sin. We're ashamed. It's been like this from the beginning. Genesis 3 records how when Adam and Eve knew they had disobeyed God, they tried to hide from Him. And when He came to meet them, He came to them. Do you think He didn't know what they had done? Of course He knew. And He came to them with the possibility of confession and restoration. Instead, they tried to excuse their sin by placing blame on others, including God. As a result, they were expelled from the garden, but not from any and all blessing from God. the very next verse, after they were banished from Eden, includes a testimony of Eve acknowledging God's blessing in giving her a child after they left the garden. When sin causes us to feel God is far away, we need to own our moral failures in confession. 1 John 1:9 declares the truth that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's essential that we confess as God calls us to confess. Confession, as it's described here, is not our usual counterfeit apology that takes the form of, I'm sorry, but. That means I'm not sorry, right? That's what that means. And then we pour out defensive excuses and blame shifting. Nor is the confession, as it's described in 1 John 1:9, a shame-filled, long-winded apology that won't quit until I talk myself out of feeling so bad about what I've done or haven't done. The confession God calls us to in 1 John 1:9 is taking responsibility for our sin by saying the same thing about it that God says. We acknowledge our moral failure as unacceptably wrong and a grave breach of our expressed trust in Him. That's confession. And that confession opens us to receive the restoring forgiveness our Lord has already provided when He came to us and died as our Savior on the cross. One other reason we may feel God is far away that I'll mention is distraction. We're preoccupied. Perhaps some unexpected emergency has captured our attention, and we've forgotten that our God is the God who masters emergencies. Or we may simply be hypnotized by the monotony of the routine. Or maybe we've traded real life for post-life, spending all our time wandering from post to post, mere spectators to other people's lives rather than living our own. Either way, just going through the motions. Instead of thriving in overflowingly abundant life as our Lord intends us to. Or we may have capitulated to the persistent temptation to prioritize our own impulses and appetites and be caught up in pursuing repeated rounds of temporary, intense, sensual gratification. Regardless of where it comes from, when distraction causes us to feel God is far away, it's time to redirect our attention back to Him, who He is, what He's doing, and His call for us to participate. Listening to and joining in with praise draws our attention back to God, who is right here with us. Memorizing and meditating on Scripture redirects our thoughts to focus on Him. Honest, alert, fervent prayer is that open channel God has provided for connecting with Him. Now, some of you are thinking, what about that Ivan Illich quote about there being no greater distance than between someone in prayer and God? Well, actually, when you look at the context from which the quote's taken, you'll see that the point Illich was making is that prayer bridges the distance between us and God. So embrace the call of Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. And why wait until you're feeling distant from God to get serious about prayer? So many of us settle for our interaction with God to be merely religion, periodic rituals, occasional favors, and crisis intervention, rather than the living relationship he calls us to. Like any relationship, you can expect to feel distant from God when you neglect your relationship with God. When you stop investing premium time, attention, and creativity in your relationship with God. Just like with any friend or partner, when the relationship ceases to be a priority, you can end up sitting in the same room but feeling like you're on different planets. Neglect your relationship with God and you'll feel it, or lack of it. R.C. Sproul was a Bible scholar, a teacher, a theologian, and an author who described his experience of coming into awareness of the presence of Holy God like this. I was in a posture of prayer, but I had nothing to say. I knelt there quietly, allowing the sense of the presence of a holy God to fill me. An icy chill started at the base of my spine and crept up my neck. Fear swept over me. I fought the impulse to run from the foreboding presence that gripped me. The terror passed, but soon it was followed by another wave. This wave was different. It flooded my soul with unspeakable peace, a peace that brought instant rest and repose to my troubled spirit. I wanted to linger there, simply to bask in the presence of God. When you feel God is far away, recognize he is not the one who has moved. For thus says the one whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place and with the repentant and humble in spirit. God is holy and God is here, right here. Where are you? Let's pray. Our Father God, holy God, high and lifted up, exalted one over all, great sovereign, whose holiness overwhelms us. Thank you for loving us to come down to us across that distance that we ourselves could never cross. We confess to you that sometimes we even are relieved to feel that you're distant from us so that somehow we might not be so accountable to you, as if you're not fully aware of what we're doing and what we're thinking. Father, we are grateful today that you have reminded us of your awesome holiness and your loving presence right here. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for my friends who are here and who will be listening to this later. Pray for myself, asking that you would forgive us from taking your holiness lightly, and that you would sustain us in those times when we are feeling so distant from you and overlooking the fact that you are right here with us. Our prayer, Lord, is that you would, in these coming days, renew within us an awareness and celebration of both your holiness and your here-ness. We give ourselves to you for that purpose. In Jesus' name, who has revealed it to us so clearly and embodied it. Amen.